Good morning. It's 9:30. For the sake of those who got up early to be here, we're going to get started. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to, 2 John's where we left off, so we'll finish that, and we'll look at 3 John. All right, 2 John is the end of the book, verse 12. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink, but I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. And what a blessing it is to meet with people face to face. And part of being in the house of God, and John was looking forward to that. And as he wrote to the elect lady, some people say it's a church, some people say it was a church in a lady's house. That might have been. But it's a joy to see you this morning and serve the Lord. And let's pray as we begin. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we can open the scriptures. And we thank you, Lord, for those who have an interest in the Word of God to gather here this morning. We pray, O Lord, help us to understand not just the things that are written here, but how they apply to our lives and what you want to do with us. For it's certain, Lord, that every one of us needs something changed in our hearts and lives, and we pray that you'll be working this morning. And that we would get by the problems that we've had and the things that have happened to us even this morning. And help us, Lord, to come with a dedicated mind to look into the Word of God and not be distracted by the things of the world or by what the devil is trying to do to us this day. And help us to be free of him. Deliver us from evil, O Lord, and bless us in this time that we might have a true focus on the Word of God. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And so we're on the 3 John this morning, and before we get going, it's written to a church. We don't know what church. Some have speculated. I'm not even going to bother going there because speculation is just that. It's really quite meaningless. This is the situation in 3 John. John sent several preachers, and preachers came to this particular church, and John wanted them to be supported out of the church and not to have to work a job or something else. There was a guy in the church by the name of Diotrephes, and he interfered and refused to give them support and actually told them to get lost, cast them out of the church even, wouldn't let them have anything to do with that. But two people, Gaius, who the book is written to, and Demetrius, who is mentioned in the book, it seems like these two took these preachers aside and supported them at least gave them enough money to get back home wherever John was. So they talked to him about what's happened, and that's where this letter came from. And so the Apostle John is now writing to this particular church, and we'll see some things that are going on here. So verse 1, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. I'll stop there. Now, John had been contributing to the support of these people because Diotrephes basically kept the whole church from being of any help. And so they depend on some private support. And whoever Gaius is someone in the church serving the Lord, He saw the wrong that was being done at his church and took upon himself to write it, took these men into his house. Now, John's writing back. John knows Gaius. And he says, above all things I wish, he said, that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. Now, usually, today, we would say, I wish you could do as well spiritually as you are doing materially. I wish you could be as wealthy spiritually as you are wealthy physically. I mean, you've got a good job, you're making good money, you got lots of things. Too bad you didn't have in the spiritual realm all kinds of good things going on there, and spiritual growth and rewards coming in heaven for serving. That's what we would normally say. But Gaius has been serving the Lord, and so he says, I wish you could be in as good a health as your spiritual health is. I wish you could prosper. I wish your business and your wealth could increase in this world as much as your spiritual wealth is increasing. I mean, we're talking about a man of God here. And so John is commending him. And it's good for us to know also that the Lord notices and other people notice when you're doing well spiritually. You know, you're not living in a vacuum. People notice. Even unsaved people can notice if you're walking with God and you're being close to Him. And so this is his wish above all things. Why? Because John has probably spent a good deal of his money taking care of the preachers that the church should have took care of. And so John is looking for him to be rewarded and blessed of God for doing that materially. We don't know what he might have given up in his own life of material things and money in order to help these people, but he's wishing that God would bless him and repay him for all he has done. And that's a good thing. In verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Now, to walk in the truth really is to live the truth of the Word of God. That's what it's talking about. It's talking about living that in your life. It doesn't matter how much truth of God's Word you know. As long as you don't let it influence your life, the devil will not care. But he will begin to care if you let the Word of God change you. If you let the Word of God mold your life, then the devil's going to kick up then. He's not going to appreciate that. John said, I rejoice greatly to see that you are walking in the truth. And so the preachers that he had sent came back from John's house, or from Gaius' house rather, to John's house, and they said, look how well that Gaius treated us, and look how kind he was, and look how he paid for us so we could come back home again, and just living the truth. He had a testimony of his own life that he was living for the Lord. And then verse 4, John says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. There's a very good chance, whatever church this is, that this is a church that John planted, that John's the church planter here. John was the soul winner initially here. John led Gaius to the Lord, maybe Demetrius as well, who's named further on here. There's no question. He said, I have no greater joy than to hear that the children walk in truth. Well, that's true of your own children, but it's also true of anyone that you've had contact with. It's a thrill to know that if you led someone to the Lord, that they're going on and serving the Lord and living to please Him. And it's discouraging to hear that of people that you may have led to the Lord, or maybe you had some influence in seeing them saved, and they just, you know, they're not in church anymore, and they're not living for the Lord anymore. That's not encouraging. I have no greater joy. What is the great joy for a preacher? What is the great joy for a soul winner, or a teacher, or anybody? To have children spiritually and to know that they're walking with the Lord. That's a wonderful thing. And so in verse 5, he says to Gaius, he said, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers." Whatsoever he does to the brethren is a reference to the people at church, and to the strangers are a reference to the two preachers, I'm assuming it was two, to the preachers that he sent to this church to help in the ministry. They were strangers to others, and they were not welcome in their church. And so he says, you're doing faithfully, you know, what you're doing to brethren and strangers. He really is treating these people as he would treat the Lord Jesus Christ. He is serving the Lord Jesus by treating these people as he would treat him. And so it's a marvelous thing. And in verse 6, he says, "Which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, before whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well." And so as he continues to take care of people, in the early church time, there wasn't just preachers that were traveling around, although that's what it's believed to be here. But strangers, as people, because of the persecution, particularly in Jerusalem where it began, but it spread even beyond that, Christians were having to flee their business, flee their homes, just flee everything, just flee. And they went into all kinds of places, and, you know, you went into a town that you didn't know. What are you going to do? Who's going to take care of you? And where will you live? And many times they didn't have, they had little to no money. They were really dependent on other Christians to take care of them. We talked about that a little bit last week. When he mentions in verse 5, "and to strangers," then the next verse carries the thought, "which have borne witness of thy charity before the church." There's the thought that the strangers he's talking about were the preachers that he sent. "Whom if thou bring forward on the journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well." After a godly sort just means what a godly, what a person who is walking the likeness of the Lord would do. Because, verse 7, "that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles." For his name's sake they went forth. Now here's where we see they were, the people that John is talking about here that came to the church were preachers. They came for his name's sake. They came to do something in that city for the Lord. And some people think it's Ephesus that's being talked about. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. But they came there to have a ministry to the Gentiles, but to not take anything from them. And so they didn't want to be accused that the only reason they were preaching the gospel was to make money. They weren't going to have anybody say that. So they had a goal. Their goal was that they would go here to this church with John sending them. John the Apostle, you know, that carries a bit of weight. And say, you know, here are men with a burden to serve the Lord and win the lost in your community. You know, could you support them? And they came with some sort of a letter from John. That letter we don't have. We only have this letter. They went forth, and their goal was to take nothing of the Gentiles. Now, the way the word Gentiles is used, this is likely written to a Gentile church. And a lot of people in the church were probably Gentiles. But often the word Gentile would be used just as a word to signify the lost. I mean, we could say Gentiles. We should all go out and reach the Gentiles, because that's, everybody that's lost is pretty much a Gentile. that's just a reference to that. And so their goal was to even though the Lord has said that you know, the laborer is worthy of his reward, and the one who ministers in spiritual things has the right to material things and things like that, it's It's fine to be paid to serve the Lord like that, but their goal was to not do that. Paul had the same sort of practical goal in his life and didn't want people to say that he was only doing it for the money. So that's what these people were doing. They weren't going to take anything from the people that they were winning to the Lord. They were just going to have the support of the church to do that. And so verse 7 is talking about that. And verse 8, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Now, if the church won't receive them, he said, then individuals can do the right thing. Because churches don't always do the right thing. That's just the way it is. But John says that Gaius and I believe Demetrius would have been in that too, because he's mentioned as having a good report of all men in verse 12. But we ought to receive them into our homes. You notice something between 2 John and 3 John? In 2 John, it was like, do not receive someone into your house who doesn't come with the right doctrine of Christ. They come with some sort of false doctrine. Don't receive them into your home, he said. And don't bid them Godspeed, because if you do that, you're a partaker of their evil deeds. And so don't encourage that. But, you know, on the opposite thing now, the complete opposite thing in 3 John, now you have preachers dedicated to serve the Lord, save people with the right doctrine, wanting to come and win people to Christ in that city. And John says, now the other thing, we ought to receive those. We want to be receiving them that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Fellow helpers. A friend of mine said to me recently that, if you're not going to go, or you cannot go, perhaps in a foreign country or whatever, to do missionary work for the Lord, at least help those who are doing it. That's this whole idea right here. There it is right there in that verse. Be a fellow helper to the truth. And so it is the responsibility of all of us to be a witness for the Lord. And you can't just say, oh, I'll be a witness to the Lord if anybody asks me. We're told to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So you cannot use that verse that speaks about if anyone asks you the reason of hope that is in you. Yeah, certainly if anybody asks you, of course, be ready to tell them. But be ready to tell anybody and willing to tell anybody about how to be saved. It's our responsibility. But then you may not go to the Philippines, or you may not go to Brazil or Chile or, you know, Germany or any other country in the world. You may not ever go to any of those countries. And so how can you be a fellow helper to the truth? Well, that's where the missions program is. And that's a great program, and that's important to do. And to reach others and to help churches start and people who are preaching the word of God in other nations. We might be fellow helpers to the truth. And it's important to do that. We can all be part of what God is doing in this world, and we need to be part of what God's doing in our own backyard and with our neighbors and fellow workers and all that, being a witness to them and to all the world. And so John said, take these people into your home and try to provide for them, because we ought to all do that. He said, we all need to be fellow helpers of the truth. Now, in verse 9, he says, I wrote unto the church. What church? Well, the church that Gaius and Demetrius and Diotrephes. We don't know what church, but he says, I wrote unto the church. So he wrote, evidently from this epistle, he wrote recommending that these preachers and their support, which, interestingly enough, They would have been supported had it not been for one guy, one person. Watch what he says. I wrote in the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Loveth to have the preeminence. Literally, that means he loves to be first. He wants to be the one in charge. He loves distinction, to be able to lord over others. Now there's a question, who was Diotrephes? And again, we have this word in our Bible, we have the man's name, it's written down, forever and ever it is written down, that he was an evil man doing evil things. But that isn't how most people saw him. He had a great influence in this particular church. Some think he was a pastor. He might have been. The Bible says about pastors, they're to be shepherds, but they're not to lord it over the flock. So the pastor's not to be the lord of the church. That's not what his role is. He's the shepherd for the Lord. But so was Diotrephes a preacher? Maybe he was. Maybe. I know some preachers who the only thing they're interested in is being first. They want to be important. They want the limelight. They want all the attention on them. And everything about the church really is everything about me. Look at me. And everybody talk about me. And although they don't actually say it in words, they really wanted them to talk about me more than you talk about the Lord even. And so, are there people like that? Absolutely. Maybe a deacon. Could be a deacon. I don't know if I've told you the story. One of the churches that I was a pastor as I was younger in those days. One of the churches that Marlene and I were at as a family. There was some, I don't know, there was some discord in the church. It was there before we went there. This is a funny story, but it's not funny. But anyway, it goes like this. We did not know, but when we went there, half of the church had left before we came under the other pastor. Half of them had just walked out the door and want nothing to do with the place anymore. Then they called me as their pastor, and I came. When they found out they were going to call me as their pastor, they all came back. And they called me as a pastor, and it was a pretty decent-sized church, and so, seemed like the Lord was in it to us, and we went there. And then we find out the big rift there was in the place. My goodness. But anyway, one of the deacons who was really highly esteemed in the church, he was an older man and a very successful man, and esteemed by everyone. And one day I was out cutting the grass at church. And so we kind of took turns cutting the grass. So I was cutting the grass, and he drove up in his car. He drove up in his car, and he rolled his window down. Didn't get out. Just rolled his window down, and I shut the lawnmower off, talked to him. He cursed and swore at me. He called me every dirty word that I have ever heard in this world. He wanted so badly to get rid of me. And I could never tell a soul that story, because there's not a single person in that church who ever would have believed that. He was such a godly man. Oh, he was such a good man. He gave so much money. He was so important. Everybody bowed down to him. That's always been my trouble. I will not bow down to men. There's one I bow down to, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But, it could have been a deacon's wife. I heard a pastor's wife say, it could be said like this. She said, there was a woman in the church. Or she said, it could be said like this. There was a woman in the church. And so it's not just men, but women have been known to love to be important and love to be powerful and love to do things. And so John said, I wrote to the church, but then there was Diotrephes. And he wanted nothing to do with what we planned. Because he loveth to have the preeminence among them, he receiveth us not. And he includes himself with the preachers he sent. He rejected John, and he rejected what these people that John had sent there as well. And so, loving distinction and doing damage in the work of God. I was reminded as I thought about this passage that any of us, we might be walking with God today, but you might not be walking with him tomorrow. Even Moses, one of the greatest servants of God, but the people kept murmuring and complaining, and the poor man's soul was worn out with all the complaining from people. And they, we don't have any water, and the Lord told him to speak to the rock. And instead he took his stick and he smote the rock. Water still came out. But as a result, Moses, who had been living his whole life to lead the children of Israel into the promised land, you're starting kind of as an older man to do it, but even when he was a young man, he had the idea that God was going to use him to deliver his people, and the trouble that got him into. But now in his, he's got the children of Israel, and God has blessed and delivered them from Egypt. They're on their way. And one time, Moses got in the flesh that we know of. And in the flesh, he did the wrong thing, and he dishonored God before all those people. And as a result, God said, you can't take the children of Israel into the promised land now. And he wasn't able to see it except for a panoramic view that God gave of him before he died, but he never set foot in it. And all because of that one day, he was angry. And all of us could do so much damage by walking in the flesh. And we've got to be so careful. And so, is that the sort of person this Diotrephes was? Was he the sort of person that he had been doing well, but now isn't? I think so, because he usually, to get a pretty good reputation and influence with people, you have to be doing well spiritually, you would think, at some point. But at any rate, the man is not, I don't know, some people might say, well, he wasn't saved. I don't know. I wasn't there. And I'm not the Lord, so I can't tell anyways. Watch what he says about him in verse 10. He says, wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds which he doeth. Prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. So, let's consider what he says here. He says, if I come, he's expecting that he's going to come, I will remember his deeds. What's he going to remember them for? He's going to remember them to punish this man. And because he is an apostle, even though this man is rejecting his authority as an apostle, you can be sure that the apostle John, now an old man, is going to come there. He's going to deal with what's going on here, and he's going to remember his deeds. And then he mentions some of his deeds that he's going to remember. He's going to remember the malicious words. Prating against us with malicious words. We're in 3 John 10. Prating just means making idle accusations. Prating against us. Making accusations about the Apostle John and perhaps the other preachers that came with him. Just saying things. Groundless sort of things that he just made up to make them look bad. Then there's the word malicious, though, because malicious means evil. Evil words. He was saying wicked things. And he was not content just to run down John, the apostle, and to run down these preachers as though they were some sort of evil men. He wasn't content with that, but he himself wouldn't receive the brethren, and then he forbidded them that would. There were people in the church that wanted to support them, but oh no, he made sure that that didn't happen, and that people didn't support them, didn't help them. He forbid them that would, and he cast those preachers out of the church. Some people think that casting them out of the church is a reference to the people who wanted to support them, like Gaius and Demetrius, but the text indicates that it's a reference to the preachers, not to them. And so he says in verse 11, "Beloved, follow not that which is evil." I wonder who he means. He means Diotrephes. Don't follow what is evil. Can evil go on in a church? Oh, yes. But the Lord says don't follow it. Doesn't matter who it's in. Doesn't matter if it's in the pastor. Doesn't matter if it's in the deacons. Doesn't matter if it's in anyone in the church who's highly esteemed or not highly esteemed for that matter. Do not follow the example of those who are evil, but that which is good. He that doeth evil is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. And here's where most people would say, this is a reference that they are not saved, even. A while back, I had an interview to be a pastor of a church. And the interview was just with the chairman of the deacons. Chairman of the deacons met me and in a Tim Hortons and to have a little interview with me to see where that would go. Well, as it turns out, in the course of my conversation with this individual, it's a Baptist church. He knows nothing about being a Baptist. As a matter of fact, he's from the United Church. But he was a doctor. And so, because he was a doctor, when he went to the Baptist church, everybody bowed down to the doctor and said, oh, he should be, you know, he needs to run this place. We need to follow him. I mean, look how successful he is and look how important he is. And such absolute nonsense. It's too bad that Christians value a person for the size of their wallet rather than the size of their walk with God, their prayer life, their Bible reading and study and what really matters. It's a shame. See, my wife has a saying. Her saying goes, you'd last 5 minutes in a church like that. And maybe that's so. I don't know. But the Lord kept me from going there, for which I am sure he saved me from all kinds of trouble. And I don't cause trouble. It just seems to happen when you preach the truth sometimes. Here's the warning. Follow those that are following God, that are doing good, because he that doeth good is of God. And this comes right out of the book of 1 John, as you notice. Same thing that John said there, he says over here, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. He doesn't have a connection with God. Not saved, doesn't know God, doesn't follow him. He's just out there in the flesh doing his thing. And that's what Diotrephes was doing. And so now he switches gears and he talks about Demetrius in verse 12. Demetrius hath a good report of all men and of the truth itself. So it's likely that Demetrius also worked with Gaius to entertain these men and these preachers that John sent that Diotrephes kicked out of his church. To Demetrius he says, he's got a good report. He's known well for doing the right thing. Not just for being important, but for serving the Lord. That's what we need to be known for. And of the truth itself, that he's living the truth in serving God. Yea, and we also bear record. So John says, I know him too, and I know that he's serving the Lord. We bear record, and you know that our record is true, that Demetrius is a godly man, and that he is serving the Lord. And then a similar closing to the previous letter. I have many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee, but I trust I shall shortly see thee. So shortly he's going to see him, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to thee, and our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. And so John was planning a trip shortly to go to whatever city this was and whatever church this was and to deal with Diotrephes. Now, you have to understand, John is an apostle. And apostles had authority under the Lord Jesus Christ in the founding of the church. And now, when John died, that was the end of the apostles. It doesn't transfer to anybody else. They're the people that the Lord Jesus personally chose. But we need the Lord to work in our day and age still to do a work in churches. Why? Because there are a lot of people like that in churches. And you see how in the way he is of what the Lord would do in the church. And we don't want to be that way. I certainly don't want to be that way. I hope you don't want to be that way, to be in the way of what the Spirit of God is trying to do, but to cooperate and to have a tender heart to the Spirit of the Lord and to the leading of the Spirit of God, and to know what the Lord would have us to do. Know the will of God in your own life. Be following it every day. And not just saying, oh, I want to do this, so I'm going to do that, and walking in the flesh. But let us walk with the Lord and be close to him and follow him, and not be like this Diotrephes with his malicious words and his influence, which was an evil influence in the church. And there were good people there that would have done the right thing. Also in a church that I pastored, it was clear what God wanted the church to do. A number of people who voted against what was clear, what God wanted for the church, was someone who said to me afterwards, well, I wanted to vote for what you were recommending because it was the right thing to do. He wanted to vote for that, he said, but I knew there were other people there that didn't want that, so I sided with them. you're going to answer to God for that one. Side with the truth, with the Lord Jesus Christ and those who are following him. That's our side, always. And not people like Diotrephes and people who just want to do evil and get their own way and be first like him. He wanted to love the preeminence. Oh, shine a light on me, sort of thing. And no, we don't want to be like that at all. And so want to have our own attention on the Lord Jesus and not on men. Not on men. It's not about men. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and honoring him above all and serving him. I still have 2 or 3 minutes, which is unusual. Anybody have any questions or comment or something you want to say or question about 3 John? Oh, Judy. True. True. Yeah, absolutely. We have one master. We need to stick with what the master has said. Absolutely. All right, God bless you, and I'll give you, well, these 2 minutes early will make up for all the times I went over a little bit.